Welcome to the Ohana Life Podcast, where I try to bring to you people who can help you in your health and wellness journey. In this episode, I was able to speak with Natalie Shoemaker of Canada. I got to know her during the COVID times because she was taking some of our Zoom classes, and I just think she is delightful. We had such a fun conversation because we talked about kids, and who doesn't enjoy talking about children? She was able to help us figure out some tools of breath, meditation, movement that you can do with your young ones at home. I know there's a lot of overwhelm with parents and what they'll do with their children coming this September, whether they should put them in school or not. And this is really for the parents of really young children who, you know, may have the opportunity for either a daycare or preschool or maybe even first grade. So we did some fun activities. I really do hope that you try these on for size and are able to use them with your children, because I think that it just will empower the kids to have some grounded time throughout the day and for you to just pull these out of your hat whenever you need them. So really enjoy. It was fun. Natalie Shoemaker, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good. So number one, I want to say I just love your name.
Thank you.
So much. And I want to just give people a little backstory on us. So we both are part of the Connected Yoga Teacher, and I had posted just randomly one class that I teach a week on their site, and you had taken it. And when I saw you sign up for it, I said, Natalie Shoemaker, she doesn't sound like she'd be from around here. And then coincidentally, you're from Canada.
I'm not. Yeah, exactly.
Where are you from Canada? Where are you talking to?
I live in St. Thomas, Ontario. So Southern Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the other neat thing about this meeting is that I had the opportunity to take a class with anybody in the world, and you were the one. That's so great.
I told everybody, I was like, so I had someone from Canada take me.
It's like I'm exotic, right?
It does feel like that. And I was just so happy that one of the positives that I found out of COVID was that we were able to make these connections further away, right? Because we would never have met before this.
Exactly.
And now that we've met, I feel like we are soul sisters. Like we had to have been sisters in a prior life. Do you have any siblings?
I have a brother. Okay. But we're not, you and I are, soul connected for sure.
Yeah, and I never had any sisters. I had two brothers growing up, and I never had a sister. Yeah. And so, and I think we are very similar in how we talk and our excitement and our uses of exclamation points. Like, I'm a very big exclamation point person. So.
Are you a dot, dot, dot person too?
I use that when I need to. I try and use it sparingly, but I do use that. Okay. I think I use it. I use that stuff more than I would emojis.
Yeah, same.
So as we got to know each other through all of this, you started telling me that you were going to open a brick and mortar yoga studio.
Yes.
So we sort of chatted about that, and you were sending me pictures, and here's our other soul sister. It looks just like my original studio. That rectangle-ish with the posts, the decorations that you did, the lower ceilings, everything. And I thought, oh my God, you go, girl, because the sky's the limit.
The similarities were just uncanny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Everything. It just
and for you to trust opening during all of this is really tough. Right. So you just opened.
Right. So I was teaching my students at a little church beside my house, which was lovely, but I needed space where I could social distance them when we, come back together. I also needed somewhere where I could offer more. I was pretty limited in my scheduling at that point. So to find this space and it's right by the water, which you are as well. So many beautiful similarities.
So one of the things that you do is you teach for adults, but you also
Right.
teach for children.
Right.
So I want to hear, because we're at this stage now here in the United States where kids are going back to school soon, and I'm sure the same is for Canada. When do you
Yes.
guys usually go back? August or September?
September 9th, I believe, is the first day back.
Yes. Okay. So usually after Labor Day for us
Yeah.
here. So as I got to thinking about how parents are just really scared. They just the unknown of what's going on in schools and the children not really knowing how things are going to go. I mean, I think during all of this, the hardest hit are the people with young, really young children. Like mine are older, they are doing their own thing, they seem to be okay.
Right.
These younger kids are having a really hard time, and the parents are on the fence. Do I bring them back to school? What do I say? How do I even deal with this? So you actually owned. So you tell me that you owned a preschool and ran one for
Yes.
30 years. So tell us
Yes.
all about that.
Okay, well, still do. So I have a business in BC, 27-year-old business, which has just been my second baby. My daughter, of course, was my first. And grew it from just this small little something to this mindful curriculum with lots of yoga pieces, lots of peaceful pieces in it, lots of weaving in nature. We teach science, math, all those different kinds of social studies, learning about our world, learning about not just our community, but broader, so that we're just really tapping into all those beautiful areas in the children's minds that they can think beyond themselves. So yeah, that's been going on for 27 years. So now that I'm in Ontario, I have an amazing manager. I have fantastic teachers that are carrying on this little beautiful thing that I created. So yeah, it's going really well. So we serve about 30 to 35 families a year. So you multiply that by 27 years, there's been a lot of beautiful service in our community, lots of supporting families and children. Yeah, it's been amazing. And now, because I have such great staff, I'm able to go on to dream number two, which is opening. I know it sounds strange in these times, but opening a brick and mortar studio. So we just opened a couple of weeks ago, and the space turned out even better than I'd dreamed. So it's a beautiful thing.
So tell me about the curriculum for your preschool. Is it based on Waldorf, Montessori? I don't know if you know what those things are
I
in Canada,
do.
but I think they're the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a blend. When I first got out of university, I taught public school and then I went into private school, and it was private school Montessori. So I would do the ministry curriculum, and then the Montessori teacher would do their curriculum. So I learned a lot during that piece. It really kind of formed how I teach. Not right away, it didn't form it, but in about, I don't know, 10, 15 years down the road, all of a sudden I was noticing, gosh, this has a real Montessori flavor to it. And then blending that with Waldorf. So we have lots of natural materials. We use beautiful little felted pieces as well. Waldorf arches, just different pieces in our classroom. So it's really a blend. And of course the yoga piece and the nature piece. We have a tasting garden outside. We do organic gardening there as well. So it's kind of just, it's evolved bigger than I ever dreamed it would be. It's just grown. It just changed and evolved and grown over these years to what it is today, and I couldn't be prouder. It's an amazing offering to the children at that age to plant the seeds of yoga, mindfulness, whatever it is. It's an honor. Feel very lucky to be part of that. And the other beautiful piece is now my teachers, I have wonderful staff. Now they can take what I've created and move forward with it and make it even more beautiful than it is with,
Yeah, put their flair on it.
totally,
I think that's what's great about being able to be your own teacher, right? Without the rules of public school, is that you might have these opportunities to meet the and greet the children where they're at
For sure.
and what their needs are. Oh, I wish there was something like that when my kids were younger. We had opted for homeschool for through sixth grade for all of them.
Right.
And my youngest may do something high school, but to have those options were so great. But if a parent is not ready for that, you know, they got thrown into, there's nothing available. All of a sudden everything shut down and there's nothing available. Right. What happened to your preschool during that time? It had to shut down?
Yes. So we closed. We didn't have to. BC has all, each province has their own laws, but BC did not mandate preschools to shut down or childcare or daycares or anything to shut down. The public schools did shut down, but my concern was my families, my children, my staff. And I just felt that if public schools were closed and it wasn't safe for the children to be there, not safe for the teachers to be there, well, my teachers, it's not safe for them. It's not safe for my small little population either. So I made the choice as a business owner to close. We closed. Our last day of teaching was March 17th, and then we reopened. The province opened up in BC on May 19th, and we chose to reopen June 1st. We just need to make sure we had all our protocols in place, that yeah. everything, you know, everything was done to the best of our ability. So, and it's gone beautifully. The transition, I know that's my favorite word. I just hear myself saying that over again, but the transition has gone really, really well. Happy parents. We've retained so many families. And lots of new families coming in as well. So it's been, yeah, a great beginning for us.
So can you explain what your protocols are there? Are the kids wearing masks? Or do you have 6-foot rule? No.
So traditionally, we're in a group of 25 in a 2,200 square foot classroom. It's a huge space, so ample room for everybody. With the new rules, we have divided the children into little pods. My school's name is Parachute, so we call them Parachute Pods. So we divided them into pods, four little pods per teacher. So we hired extra staff as well, so that we have enough teachers to be able to, you know, individually have a little group of children. The children in that way, they're limiting who they're playing with. We're not requiring masks for BC. Social distancing, like I said. Families do drop off outside and pick up outside as well, so that we're not running the risk of transmission in the classroom. The classroom's dedicated just to the teachers and the children. Other protocols we put in place, sanitizing, of course, not sharing lunches, not sharing food, having ample space for all the children's personal belongings. Trying to think what else. Oh, and then when we are inside, so some children are, because they're in the pods, half the school is outside and then half the school's inside, separated into two ends of the school. And from there, we do a switch throughout the day so that, you know, there's not the amount of children that we typically would have in the classroom at the same time. And they recommend for our little friends, the age of our children from 2.5 to 5, that it's not so much social distancing, because that's an impossibility at that age, but it's more just kind of hands-off play, like just keeping your distance more so. So being in pods, we've been able to do that, and each teacher's responsible for their pods. So the children aren't also going through like 5 different teachers in a day, which has really worked well. So everyone's so far staying healthy, and yeah. Class is going well. Probably in September, we'll probably be going back to larger class sizes. So, but we didn't have to limit our class size either. We were allowed to fill to whatever capacity we were before.
Yeah, it's so interesting what the different countries are mm-hmm. doing.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really appreciate hearing what you're doing for the schools, because, you know, here, well, my kids in general are in 3 different schools. So the right. protocols for each are completely different. Mm-hmm. And sports are slowly starting to reopen, and right. what they're going to do there. I forgot. Yeah. If little kids are playing, you can't touch Johnny. There's no yeah. hugging yeah. Johnny anymore. Yeah. What is your most popular child name in Canada?
Oh my gosh. That's a very good question. Well, I can honestly say I've only ever had one Natalie. So there we go. oh, wow.
Like here, Jacob is really popular.
Right. Yeah. You've stumped me on that one. So just think,
you can come back to it.
30 children over 27 years. That's a lot to remember.
I don't know if that was like the Canada name or Canadian name yeah. that is very popular.
Yeah. I'm going to be thinking about that for a while now.
These are the things that go through my mind. I'm like, who's the person that, you know, can't keep his hands off the other kids? You know, we always had growing up Riley. It was either a girl Riley or a boy Riley that
was the active child.
Well, they always had the sickness. It was like Riley came in today with slice or Riley came in with conjunctivitis. And he was like, all right. So we were like, Riley. Anyway, so I guess the way I would love for you to help people today is maybe give them some tools. So if they do decide that they want to stay home with their children, you know, and I'm thinking the younger kids that maybe, you know, the parents can direct the type of learning that they have. What are some things that they can do? Like maybe you could give us a key meditation, a breath and a movement that they could like do, or a mantra, an affirmation or something that, So let's give them like four things, because those are my favorite four pillars of yoga: the breath, the movement, the meditation, and something that they could do. And if you want to practice it on me, we can just like pretend I'm Johnny.
Awesome.
And we can kind of go through it.
Okay. Well, for breath, with a favorite breath of all time, maybe not all of history, but would be lion's breath. So we get our claws ready. So you stretch out your fingers really, really wide and then plant them on your knees. Roll your shoulders down your back. Maybe shake out your mane, like shake out your hair a little bit. Yeah, feel really fierce. And with your heart really lifted, we're going to take a breath in through our nose and bug our eyes out and out through our mouth. And our tongue is going to stick out as well. Ready? Here we go. In through your nose, eyeballs open, and roar it out. One more big breath in. And then sometimes we do little baby lions, because that was more like maybe, I don't know, the dad or the mom lion. So sometimes we do the baby lion. So that breath is going to be a little bit smaller, a little bit more quiet. So a breath in through your nose, but don't forget to bug out your eyes and stick out your tongue. Here we go. Big breath in. Nice. And sometimes those lions, after roaring so much, they get laryngitis and their throat gets sore. Sometimes no sound comes out at all. Let's try that. We'll bug out our eyes, we'll stick out our tongue, and we'll roar, but no sound will come. Here we go. Big breath in. Nice job, Lisa. So
I actually really enjoyed that.
Glad.
Well, I liked that it teared down.
Right.
I mean, I guess that's what makes a good preschool teacher, right?
Right. I've got a few tricks after all these years. The other great breath that we do would be soup breath. So, or it could be hot chocolate breath. Oh, let's do hot chocolate breath.
Hot chocolate for sure.
So you cup your hands together, just like you're holding a little cup of hot chocolate. And I don't know about you, but when I have hot chocolate, I know it's probably not good for your body, but I'm just going to put two little marshmallows inside. Now, the hot chocolate is very warm, Lisa, so be really, really careful. We need to blow on it first so that we don't burn our mouth. So we're going to take a big breath in through our nose and out through our mouth and blow on your hot chocolate. Here we go. Wow, it looks like it's cooling down, but it's not quite cool enough. So I think we should do it one more time. In through your nose. Nice job. Now hold on to the little handle. Be very careful in case it's still warm. Bring it up to your lips and take this time. Oh, before you bring it up to your lips, we should smell it first. Take a big breath in. Oh, it smells so delicious. And now a little sip. Be very mindful as you put your cup down. You don't want to spill it.
Oh my God, this is great. So I think the biggest key is like creativity.
Totally.
Because you can take anything and just make it fun for the kids.
And you know what the magic word in probably all of preschool is? If you turn anything into a game for parenting, for preschool. Yeah. So you know what? We're going to play the cleanup game, or we're going to play the mat rolling game, whatever we're going to do. It's going to be a game. It's going to be so much fun. Another really great takeaway for parents in terms of pranayama, in terms of breath work, something that my group of children love to do is we use little metal straws, and just gather things in your house. So I have like a ping pong ball, a feather, pom poms, maybe rolled up piece of paper, and your child can go on their bellies and they can blow those items around the floor, you know, because there's going to be varying degrees of like breath that they have to blow out to push those objects. And it's a really single focus, mindful activity, because, you know, they're just trying to get that ping pong ball to maybe move across to, you know, maybe there's a little piece of tape on the floor or something to move across to that space. And then they're also recognizing the different amounts of breath it takes between a feather and a ping pong ball, between a pom-pom and a crumpled up piece of paper. You can do little paths too. You could, with blocks, like if you have yoga blocks or whatever blocks you have, if you have just wooden toy blocks at home from your kid's little toy trunk, build a little pathway. And it's a little tunnel that they can blow their pom-pom through, they can blow their ping pong ball through. And that's a great, we call it pranayama path, and it's a great breath work for the children.
Yeah, I feel like parents try to play with their kids all the time, right? But if we give them these four categories to kind of lump things into, like, have I done something today with my kids that involves like conscious breath, like maybe getting deeper into the lungs, because kids these days, you know, I feel bad for them because of the stress of wearing masks. Like, no kid wants to wear a mask, and no kid wants to watch somebody who's wearing a mask because it's scary. And, and you can't really read the emotion behind that. What could you say to that, being hidden behind a mask? Like, what could help children understand better emotion if they can't see it through the mouth?
I would direct them to look at the eyes. You know, I mean, expression is played, you know, so much in the eyes. That's what I would do as well. And just to watch for body language. But I think you really hit it on the head, because little ones, especially, I mean, I work with 3 to 5s traditionally. I also have classes for the older children, but they don't have the life experience either. I mean, we're struggling sometimes as adults, you know, all the protocols in place and wearing a mask and all those things. And we have life experience, and we have the verbal skills to express ourselves, but our little ones don't. So, lots of reassurance for sure. And coming back to the breath when something is scary, coming back to a little bit of meditation, perhaps, you know, we can do like a little 5-finger meditation, or we can do mountain breathing or something like that, so that the children have the tools to, you know, regulate how they're feeling emotionally.
Let's go to that, the meditation, the 5-finger meditation. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Two different things we could do. So if you just hold your hand up and you spread your fingers like a little starfish, and then we'll use our other finger, maybe our pointer finger, and we'll just put it on the tip of our thumb here. So this is our big mountain. So maybe this is Lisa Mountain. Maybe it's Natalie Mountain. You can name your mountain anything you like. So with our pointer on the tip of our thumb, we'll inhale here. And then exhale and slide that thumb down the mountain. Inhale, come all the way up to the top of your pointer. And then exhale, coming down. Inhale, go back up. Exhale, coming down. We're to the ring finger now. We're going all the way up. We're exhale, come all the way back up and slide down. So just a mindful breathing exercise that, you know, you have your hands with you wherever you go. So guess what? You can meditate. You can use that breathing activity wherever you go.
Yeah. So it's just getting them to focus on something other than what's going on. If there's emotions that are high tension, maybe.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But emotions can also be too much excitement. It can be too much stimulation. You know, it can be mad, sad, all those things too, of course, scared, overwhelmed. But yeah, to come back to, you know, that kind of breathing. When we teach meditation, we teach with their hands. So we get the children to spread out both palms and just maybe give their fingers a little bit of a wiggle. Give your thumb a bit of a wiggle. And then that thumb is so full of love, it's going to kiss every one of your fingers. So, mwah, 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 mwah. And it has more love to give. So more kisses to those fingertips. And then we can just rest the back of our hands on our knees. And still that thumb is going to touch your fingers. But this time, as your thumb touches each fingers, there's 4 amazing words that we can say. And they're like, they could be, maybe, the most important words you might ever learn in your whole life. Are you ready for them?
Yes, I am. I am, I promise.
Here we go. So our thumb's going to touch the first finger and we'll say peace. The next finger begins the next finger with me. Peace begins with me. Now, you know what the beautiful thing about this is? We can bring those fingers way up high above our heads and we can say it like a dinosaur. Peace begins with me. And then you can bring it back down, back, the backs of your hands, back on your knees. And this time, let's say it like a mouse. Still touching your thumb to your fingers. Peace begins with me. And now you might feel comfortable closing your eyes. If you don't, that's okay too. We'll put our words away and we'll say that inside our head three times, touching your thumb to each finger. And then we can float our eyes open. And now, how do you feel inside?
I actually feel very calm.
It works on all ages. It works for me too.
Interesting, because I taught children's yoga for a kind of a long time, but I love these tools because I don't think I did it the way I probably should have. You know, we were frogs, we were jumping around, we were doing games like ring around the yogi, different things like that. But I love this because it always starts with like, here's what we're doing. And then you always taper down, you know, like the order of it really always makes sense.
Right. So I always start my classes with the Tibetan bowl. So we have our hands, you know, maybe at our hearts or the backs of the hands on their knees. And I'll play the bowl first. And then we each take turns around our little yoga circle. And the kind of rule is that you're being really mindful and you're listening and focusing on what that child is doing as the bowl moves around the circle. And that just kind of helps us ground and connect, just, you know, spread some beautiful energy in our circle before we begin. Because after school, when the kids come to me, they're like pretty excited. It's been an exciting day at school. So we need a way to like ground them a little bit before we can move into the rest of the yoga class. And then we traditionally move on to a pranayama. We'll move on after that to learning about Om and what Om is, and we'll do silly Oms, and then we'll do three short. I'll say something like, oh my gosh, like Om is like really serious business in yoga. Like it's super serious, but you know what? This is a kid's class. So how about we just have a little fun with it first of all? So I'll talk about Om being the heartbeat of the universe. And I'll give a little bit more description than that. And I'll say, you know, if you were to climb up to the tallest mountain and you were to sit maybe cross-legged with your hands at your heart and you're going to meditate, and if you could not hear that old refrigerator humming, and if you could not hear the air conditioner going, if you couldn't hear that noisy truck outside, or if you couldn't hear your mom's cell phone or dad's cell phone going bing, 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 all you would hear is the sound of the universe. And the heartbeat. And so I'd talk about Om. So we do three silly Oms first. So we might do like opera singer Om. We might do race car driver Om, underwater Om, dentist Om. And then we do three short, just short little Oms, a bit more traditionally.
Oh my God, these kids are so lucky. They're so lucky. So I used to do something similar. I would sing the ABCs to my kids, or any song really, and they would sit in the back seat of the car and go, now sing it like opera. Now sing it like a rock star. Now awesome. Sing it like a ballad, you know. So I would never think to do that with an Om.
Right.
See, I'm so like black and white in one box, like Om is serious. It has to be serious. And we have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And I love that you bring in the funniness, playfulness part of it. And then they know like, yes, it's obviously important, but we can make light of that for the purpose of the children being happier.
Right. And I would never dishonor, you know, tradition and, but it's a way to really have it sink in, right? So like when we do the dentist Om, I just have to show you. You didn't ask, but I'm going to show you. Okay. So you kind of hook one of your little index fingers and put it on the side of your mouth. So you open your mouth really wide and you open your mouth like the dentist is looking in. That's the dentist.
Oh my goodness. That's actually, that one's fun. And you can really feel the vibration even deeper.
You can. Yes. Wow. Sure. Yeah. And underwater. Ohm. Can you plug your nose?
Sure.
Okay. Can you stick your one finger out straight and then bring it to your lips and go?
This may be my most fun podcast yet. Makes you want to be a kid again, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. And then after we learn about ohms and we learn about meditation, so I teach meditation in a few different ways. So sometimes we're crazy monkeys. First of all, we act just like a regular monkey. We put on our monkey suit and, you know, screw in our monkey eyeballs, put in your monkey nose, and you get all dressed up. And then we just act like regular monkeys jumping around. And then I give a little signal and they come back to child's pose, forehead on the earth, take a breath there. And then we act like crazy monkeys. And so then we get all crazy. They come back to the earth, child's pose. They take a breath through their back body. And then we act like a crazy monkey stung by a scorpion. And then they act really super crazy. And then we come back to child's pose. And then I say, gosh, like that looked like so much fun, but you know, how are you feeling? Oh, that was like really, you know, a lot of work. And I can see, you know, so then I said, oh my gosh, and your energy is so, you know, so wild. I said, I know what we can do. Let's meditate. So that's when we'll do the Peace Begins With Me. And the other kind of meditation we do, and this would be, you know, fun at home, is we'll do something called Busy Brain. And we just sing, especially if you have a larger group, it's amazing. You sing a song like ABCs or Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Everybody sings it over and over and over and over and over and over again, like really, really loud. You keep going for a couple minutes and then you just quiet. And then you go into your Peace Begins With Me. So you talk about how it can still your mind and calm your energy. So that's how I teach the meditation piece. And then after meditation, then we work into all sorts of different songs. So it's all really musical. A great takeaway in terms of movement for families would be a freeze dance. You could use any song. It doesn't have to be a yoga song, and just, you know, groove and show your best dance moves and then turn it off or pause it. And then say star pose, and everyone goes into star pose, and then take a few breaths though. And then music turns back on and you're, you know, showing your best moves, and then downward dog. So freeze dance, you know, is a great tool for, you know, in kids yoga for families to use for sure. And it's accessible because everybody has music playing somewhere.
So I did something similar actually. So I had been to a flea market or a yard sale at somebody's house, and they had all this Kinder music stuff, like all these instruments and the
oh wow,
the, you know, the little fabrics that you can kind of throw in the air.
Oh, the streamers and stuff.
Yeah, is that what they're called? So I just left it out on the floor, and this is one piece of it. And I would say everybody grab either an instrument. The girls always grab the scarf things, they put it around their waist, and they'd you know, play with their hands. But I would say, okay, we're gonna make music. So they would, some would sing, da 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 da. You knew we'd be jumping around, dancing. Some would be playing the instruments. And then I'd say, stop. And they'd have to stop in a yoga pose. So any yoga pose that we kind of went over that day or that they knew, we'd stop and just all be in different kind of poses. But I like the calling out the pose, because again, that keeps their brain in it. You know, involved in it. Yeah. But that's so funny, because it does, it gets out all the wiggles.
Yeah. And it's a really great practice for that self-regulation piece. You know, you're busy in an activity. Can you stop and then start again? Can you stop? Right. So it's that intrinsic motivation, that intrinsic control to help children, you know, develop that regulation piece, that they're regulating themselves. It's not coming from an external somebody.
So does that help with the nervous system goal as well?
I would think so, in terms of, you know, that stopping and starting piece, and then, you know, going back to action as well.
These kids are so lucky. I'm just saying that they're so lucky.
I feel lucky. Like it's, It's an amazing thing to look at these little ones' faces, you know, like 3 years old is where we start, and to look at their little faces and, you know, you play a certain song and their eyes just light up, or they go home and they're singing Y-O-G-A, you know, like it's, yeah, a little version of YMCA, but different. Yeah, it's an honor for sure.
So we have the four pieces. There's breath, meditation, movement, and then like the affirmation piece, which you kind of pulled into Peace Begins With Me, right, as part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that you could do something like that in what, 10 minutes at home?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so doing what you do and then throwing that in to mm-hmm. it. Is there anything else that you think would be something great for parents to know or be able to do at home?
Oh, yes. There's all sorts of amazing children's yoga songs. I use a lot from Kidding Around Yoga. I use a lot from Barry Corral, Kira Wiley. I'm not sure it's Wiley or Willie. She's amazing as well. And the other really amazing activity that could be done at home, and it's probably the most popular yoga activity period, is called toga. So it sounds weird, but it's really cool. So I say, you know, we're going to play toga, and they're, you know, pretty excited already if they've done it before. And I say, now it's yoga for your toes. So it's not shoulder ga, it's not finger ga, it's definitely not ear ga, but it's toga. So how do you think, what do you think we're going to do? Use our toes. Yes, for sure. So I'll sprinkle pom-poms on the floor, or you can just have crumpled pieces of paper, or you can have cotton balls, and play a song. There's a special toga song, which is amazing, but play any song, and using one foot at a time, they pick up the pom-poms with their toes. Like, that's a really mindful.
That's actually great, because we lose that
activity.
Sorry, you broke up for a minute there. I think that's great, because they have to use their feet, and we lose that. You know, the adults, part of their therapy is using their toes to pick things up. And kids just, their toes spread so wide. I'm so jealous of how someone's toes work so well.
So they use their little toes, and they alternate feet. And, you know, you might want to have a little basket on the floor for them, and they move from one part of the room to the other, holding the pom-pom in their toes and then deposit it into the basket. And then after you're done toga, after they've collected all the pom-poms with their toes, then you can take out your metal straws or whatever you use, and you can blow those pom-poms all around. You can also take your pom-poms after you're done with toga and have a basket, place your pom-pom on your palm, and do blow one, throw one. So you blow the pom-pom in the basket, and then you throw one. You blow one, and then you throw one. Just a little pom-pom basketball.
See, the alternating plus it's brain work. Mm-hmm. I'm all about the brain work, is keeping their brains kind of sharp and in the moment, because kids can get, you know, it's good. Let them have their imagination, which they're doing all through class, but now you're asking them, here's a task-based project.
Exactly. Toga would be something wonderful to play at home. Other things you could do in terms of pranayama, and just getting children to just sort of appreciate and become aware of their breath, is just a little pinwheel that you get at the dollar store or whatever. Blowing that with your breath, there's different streams of breath that you need. So, you know, blowing on a pinwheel, bubbles, pranayama in a jar, right?
My goodness. That makes me think of scents. Like, do you use oils or something that would, like, their breath would have a scent to it that they trap in the jar?
I don't, but I'm going to.
Oh my God, we have to do that. Drink this lemonade. This lemonade with mint and trap it in your jar.
Yeah, that would be a wonderful idea. And the other thing too, and it might be things that you have at home, or just pick up at the dollar store, the dice, I don't know, they're maybe about 4 inches. Anyways, the dice, rubber dice or whatever, and just write different yoga poses on it. Roll the dice, whatever lands on top. Goddess pose. Oh my gosh, let's get into goddess pose. Let's hold it for three big breaths. Your turn to roll the dice. The next child rolls the dice. In the summertime, those big inflatable beach balls with the multicolors on them, write, you know, fish pose or mermaid pose, or, you know, whatever pose on the little panels, and you could play catch with your child, whatever, maybe wherever their right hand lands, or doesn't really matter, whichever hand, that's the pose they do. So as you're throwing the ball back and forth, and then you catch the ball, and where your hand lands is the pose that you would do. So beach ball, too.
So good. I mean, I think that really the creativity can go off the roof of what kids would like. How long would you say you would do these activities for? Just like a couple minutes? I mean, if it's a larger group, I would assume it's more, but if it was a smaller group, maybe 5 minutes long for each activity, what's their attention span?
Well, when I teach, they're amazing because, I mean, when the teacher's super engaged and you have all these, you know, different activities happening, I've had yoga classes that are like, "Aw, it's over," you know, and that's like preschool age children. So 3 to 5 year olds, I typically plan for a 25-minute class, but depending on the day and how things are going, because life is unpredictable with little ones, you know, it could be a half-hour class. And then my older group, six to 10 year olds, they're a full hour. They can, and they could even do more. They just eat it up. They're so, so engaged in class. The other thing that parents might have at home in terms of, you know, takeaways is they might have a kaleidoscope at home in their children's toy box, you know, the kaleidoscope is a really single focus mindful activity. So as soon as you put it up to your eye, you know, you're focused on just that one point, and all these beautiful colors and creations are created no matter how you turn it. It's comes out to be, you know, something amazing to look at, and it's calming for the nervous system as well. So
I'm going to have to actually get those songs from you, those artists, because I'm sure parents would love to have some good music that they want.
I can also provide you with lots and lots and lots of engaging children's literature that are either yoga specific or can be easily turned into yoga poses. You know, any book with animals in it can easily be turned into yoga poses. But I have some beautiful, more yoga specific, like piggy, little mindful piggy meditation, Hello Sun, Good Night Yoga, Good Morning Yoga. There's some amazing children's books out there.
Good. Okay. That, because I'm sure people will want to know. I know for sure we had our people that we just loved for. Lori Berkner was the person.
I love her too.
Isn't she amazing? We just, everything about her, we grew up with. Yeah. I don't know what kids are listening to now, but.
Well, we still listen to her, like in my preschool, and I do bring in some of her songs, like Goldfish, We Are the Dinosaurs, Monster Boogie. There's some,
We Are the Dinosaurs, marching. I love that one.
Marching, exactly, yeah.
And the one with collard greens. That's a good one. Collard greens is my favorite, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a good one.
So one time I had a class, a kids class, where it was boys and girls, and the boys always got a little bit crazier than the girls, and there were no boys this day. So the girls wanted to talk about, you know, plants. So I had this huge potted plant, and our yoga that day was, we went over and we like pruned it. We talked about watering it. Wow. They were all so involved surrounding this plant. And like, that was our yoga that day. And I don't know if that's the parents cared or not, that we didn't like actually run around and do this stuff, but like that was the mindful activity. And I feel like that being drawn into anything you do in life, that mindfulness is yoga.
I agree.
So I do want to talk about your studio again.
Yes, Kaleidoscope. The little plug with the kaleidoscope was no accident. But truly, I named it Kaleidoscope. And for the really simple reason that, you know, as you look through a kaleidoscope, there's different bits and pieces, different shapes and colors of little, you know, color fragments inside the tube. And no matter how you turn it, there's this amazing, beautiful creation. And so I feel like as human beings, we're the same, no matter what bits and pieces we're made up of, no matter what, you know, inside our emotions are doing, you know, it can all come together in a beautiful, beautiful pattern.
Yeah, there's so much to it. I know, you know, we picked Ohana for family. And then once, you know, it's been around for so long, you realize, yes, we are a yoga family,
I
you know,
love that.
Mm-hmm. And you with this single pointed kind of focus into this practice that people just love and adore from you is really special. I just wish you the best of luck on it because
Thank
I know
you so
that
much.
You've put so much time and effort into it, making it, mm-hmm. making it your own.
Lots of heart. That's for sure.
Definitely lots of heart. I love the colors that you picked, everything that you've done with it. And, you know, you took your joy of children. You've taken your joy of adults and put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there was one more thing I was going to ask you about the studio, but I kind of forget now.
That's okay. Oh, I should tell you a couple things though.
Tell me.
Do you have time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I talked about like literature, I talked about all sorts of different yoga games. We play Yoga Uno, Yoga Jenga, Yoga Headbands, all those kinds of things, as well as lots of musical songs and musical yoga songs. But the other thing that we do is a secret garden, a meditation at the end of class, a relaxation technique at the end of class. So my goal in class is active, 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 active. And then we get to our secret garden, aka Shavasana, at the end. And it's just so amazing to watch the children, you know, the first class, it's about 3 minutes. They can just sit and just be still. And then the next class, it's 4 minutes. And by the time, you know, a few more classes rolls around, they're able to be in Shavasana for 6 minutes. I mean, it's just a beautiful building block. You know, if you plan your classes accordingly, that you can, you know, end up with the children in Shavasana at the end, that they're truly restful and peaceful. It's amazing.
That's beautiful.
I've had some secret gardens where the kids have held hands on their mats as they're lying on their back in starfish pose. And it's like, oh, that's, yeah.
The holding of their hands, their little chubby,
yeah,
but totally. Skinny hands.
Yeah.
It's just, they're holding on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess I remembered the last question that I wanted to ask, which is not really a question, but more, you and I kind of did the same thing during COVID, which was we have this time, this free time to do whatever mm-hmm. it is that we want. We're kind of grounded. We can't do much. And you had said, I'm going to just do up my trainings right now. Like I'm going to learn as much as I can during this time
mm-hmm.
and maybe take a program, do something. And you started doing that, which was awesome. And I also was like, I'm just going to use this time to finish up the trainings that I was in.
Yeah.
So how was that for you? Because it's kind of over now. It was short lived, but did you enjoy that?
It seems strange to say, I really, really, really enjoyed it, but I did. I mean, we had this time, and it—I don't know. It was just a time of real growth for me. I can't say I felt a ton of negativity being cooped up in my house. We're lucky; we're on a lot of land, so we can walk everywhere. But I just learned so much. It was—it's kind of like a rebirth or a regrouping. It felt really good. It felt really, really grounding. And then I was able to just be in this really great space of learning for my adult students and for my children's students and for myself. And then bringing that into the studio because the studio came after, you know, after lockdown. So yeah,
that's great.
There's some beautiful parts for me through all this awful stuff. And that was the growth and the learning.
I love it.
Highlight.
That's where we are sort of the same as well. Mm-hmm. And I have my hair up and you have your hair down and normally yeah. mine would sort of look like yours too.
Yeah.
And we both have glasses that match our hair. We're definitely
exactly.
sisters.
Yeah. That's so true.
Well, I wanted to thank you so much for being here today and doing this with me. I just kind of asked you out of the blue and you came with such joy and so much happiness for what you do. And I just love that. That's, we're similar with that too. We both love what we do.
Yeah. Well, I just feel it's really an honor. If you can plant the seed of mindfulness and breath work, to these little ones, it's a gift. It's a gift. And so I feel really privileged to be working with families and little children. It's amazing. Such so I'd be happy, family. Happy to provide, you know, some resources that you can maybe share, you know, with your Ohana family.
That would be
if
wonderful.
They're interested for children and yoga. Be super.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for listening. We did record this during a tropical storm, so there were some hiccups, but I think it pieced together pretty well. Natalie has provided to us a lot of resources for music, books, where she is on social media and her website. She has offered us also an opportunity to do a Zoom call, either with a group of children or families, or she could even do a private with a parent or a group of parents to really help give them some ideas to help through this time. So I'll put that all in the show notes. And yeah, you can find that on the website, ohanayoganh.com, or through Apple iTunes or the podcast, you will see the episode notes there. I love you all. Goodbye.